A person's coming is not always an event of joy and a time of comfort. I think of a small boy who maybe is sitting in his bedroom in the middle of the night crying because there's a storm and there are no lights on in the house, but he hears his father's voice saying, "I'm coming. I'll be right there." This would be a time of great comfort. The child would look forward to the coming of his father. But I think of the same small boy maybe when he has disobeyed his father, not done what he should do. And he hears his father's voice as he enters the house saying, "I'm coming," but he finds no comfort in that voice at all. I'm reminded of the words of our Lord in John 14 and verse 3, "I will come again." Do we find those to be words of comfort, or are they words of terror? The thought that our Lord is going to come back, is that the kind of thing that comforts us? It should be. Let's study that topic today.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you, Jim. And we thank all of you for joining us today as we study God's Word together. If you are a regular listener to this program, then you know that we have begun a study 2 weeks ago talking about the things that will occur when Jesus comes again. We noticed that the Bible teaches the fact that Jesus will come again. And in the religious world, very few people dispute that. Many do accept what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is going to return. Those should be words of comfort for us, as we have mentioned on a number of occasions. Last week, we looked at some of the things that will occur when Jesus returns. We notice from John chapter 5 that the dead will be raised. We also noticed from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the living will be changed. All will not be dead at the time that Christ returns, and those who are alive will be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. So the dead will be raised, the living will be changed, and we also learned that the earth will be destroyed, that it is not a place of permanence, that it is not a place of paradise, but rather that the earth will be destroyed. It, its works, the elements of it will melt with fervent heat, as Peter writes to us in 2 Peter. But that's not the only thing that's going to happen that day. As we alluded to last week, it will be a time of great judgment. Now, in our earlier comments, we said that the small boy hearing his father's voice could be either comforted or terrified, depending on how he had behaved, what he had done, and whether he would find favor in his father's eyes when his father returned. We might look at the second coming of our Lord the same way. He rules this earth. He rules his kingdom. He rules the church. And there will be a day that he will come, and when he does, that will be a day of judgment. We should understand that whether that's a day of comfort for us or a day of terror is dependent on us. Now, we should not dispute the fact that there will be a day of judgment. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. There is a time when we will surely stand before God in judgment. And we must understand that all will be judged. This is not something that will be done only for some and not others, but rather all will be judged. In Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 30, we read, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man of God whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." We talked about the fact that 1 Thessalonians 4 teaches us we should be comforted by the fact that those who have died and passed on before us will not be left out when Jesus returns, but rather they will be raised from the dead. And that we have assurance of this because God raised the Son, Christ, from the grave. He raised him from the dead. Now we find that the resurrection of Christ from the dead is also assurance that the day of judgment will in fact take place, that there will be a time when God will require all to stand before the judge, the world will be judged, and we will all give an account. Now, this is not all in a collective sense, but all in an individual sense, each and every one of us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, each of us will be there on that day. We'd already read from John chapter 5 that both good and evil will be raised from the dead in that last day, that the good may be raised to life, that those who are wicked will be raised to condemnation, but both will be raised and stand before this judgment seat of Christ. We must also understand, and it is laid out for us very clearly there in the passage from 2 Corinthians 5, that we will not be judged according to how others lived. Everyone answers for himself. Paul told the Romans in chapter 14, beginning in verse 11, that it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Each and every one of us will stand before God. Since that's the case, we should be very careful not to fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with other men. Paul made mention of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, where he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." You see, God has established a standard for us. He tells us what the standard of righteous and unrighteous living is. And if we start to compare ourselves to other standards, to the lives that men have lived, to the works that men have written, rather than comparing ourselves and our actions to God's standards, we are not wise. For it is on that day that we will be judged, not according to how anyone else has lived, but rather according to how we have lived compared to the standard that God gave. In the same vein, it's important for us to realize that on that day we will not be judged by any denominational creed. Now, most denominations have written one or more books that express their foundational items of faith, but will not be judged according to that standard. We're told in Mark 13, verse 31, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. All of these creed books written by denominations are products of this earth, for they are the products of man. They are not the product of God. We must turn to God's word. We must order our lives according to his word, because it's that will stand there in the last day, not the creeds or the traditions of men. We also need to understand we'll not be judged according to the writings of the scholars and the theologians of our day. In John 6, beginning in verse 68, we read that Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, many had turned away from Christ and had gone back to walk after the ways of men. He asked the apostles if they would do likewise, and Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We cannot turn to some man to learn how we might have life. For life comes only through Jesus the Son." John chapter 14, he tells us, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And if Jesus is the life, there's life in no other. So we'll not be judged by how others have lived. We'll not be judged by the creeds of denominational groups. We'll not be judged by the writings of scholars and theologians. We'll not be judged by the feelings of mankind. This is a very common phrase in religious circles. Everyone wants to tell you how he feels about something. But we know from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8, that our Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We may feel one way about it. We may be very sincere about that feeling, but it certainly does not make it right. We also will not stand that day and be judged by the law of Moses. Oh, it is a covenant of God, a covenant between God and mankind, but it's a covenant that has reached its end. It's been taken out of the way. We're told in Romans 7 and verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God." So we will not be judged by the standard of how others have lived, nor will we be judged by denominational creeds, the writings of theologians, our own feelings, or even by the law of Moses. But rather, we are told how we will be judged. We will be judged by the Word of God. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus warns us, "He that rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Jesus will be the judge, and the standard is certainly his own word. Our actions compared to his word, that is how we'll be judged. And it is at this day of judgment that man will be assigned his eternal destiny. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 32, we read, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then will the king say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now, that's a very beautiful picture, but it's not the whole picture. For in verse 41 of the same chapter 25, we read that he'll say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This consignment will be a permanent one. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What will your fate be on that day? Will you be grouped to the right or to the left? That decision, although rendered then, is determined now and is determined by our own actions. We see then how that when Jesus returns, that the dead will be raised, the living will be changed, the earth will be destroyed, and that we will all be judged.